Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Kearney field goal with 13 seconds left in the first half extended their lead to 13-7. The Saints dodged a bullet named Terrence McGee. The Pro Bowl kick returner cut, spun, and juked his way 82 yards through all 11 Saints defenders before tripping up at the 3-yard line as time expired in the half.
Our mystery guest probably just hung up on us. It is former Bills cornerback and kick returner Terrence McGee, hopefully still with us on the Wester Hotline. Terrence, it's Howard and Jeremy. Thank you for coming on with us this morning. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Thank you for having me.
You still okay coming on with us after we played that?
Yeah, I thought about hanging up. But
okay.
Well,
we gave out the clue that you were involved in one of the most famous non-scoring plays in Buffalo sports history, and it is.
Yeah. I definitely am.
Well, listen, we got a lot of things I wanted to cover with you. Thanks, by the way. It is nice to have you on the show. And, you know, in going back over your career, I wanted to go back to, we had Takiyo Spikes on the show last week, Terrence, and I didn't realize after looking at your bio. So he came in 2003. That's his first year. And now he's been in the league, but he comes in and he talked about how impressive that defense was to be a part of from a veteran's perspective. That was your rookie year with the Bills. What did you think about that group when you got here?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was. Especially, watching guys like Nate Clements, Antoine Winfield, those guys in secondary. It definitely was an impressive defense.
What do you remember? So your first game at the stadium was against the Patriots, which in itself was a memorable game without how it played out. What do you remember walking down the tunnel, walking into the stadium, the huge crowd? What do you remember about your first game, your first home game?
Now that the first game, I didn't suit up.
Oh, okay. So I thought you were active in that game because you played. That's right. I think you played in like 14 games that season. All right.
Yeah. So the first game I didn't actually play in, so I was really up in the booth or wherever we were watching the game.
Yep.
But I just knew once they, because I think they beat the Patriots like 34-0 or something like that.
Yep.
I was spending my playoff money. I was like, oh, we're going to the playoffs. Like, there's no way we just beat the Patriots 34-0. Mm-hmm. There's no way we're not going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, it was defense, played an amazing game that day. So, I just knew we were going to have a great season.
So when you get to play in that first home game, when you finally dress, and I'm thinking about, you come out of Northwestern State University, don't know what seating capacity was at Northwestern State, but it probably wasn't as much as Ralph Wilson Stadium. So what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was definitely different. I mean, I came from even high school, small town. Small college, so just to come into the stadium, my first time. I think once I got drafted, I think we came like in like a week later, like OTAs or something like that. Just to see the stadium, walk in the locker room, you know, it was definitely totally different for me.
You mentioned Antoine Winfield and Nate Clements. What were some of the most important things you learned from those two guys?
And really just because I was a quiet guy, so I didn't really ask too many questions, but just watching them. Antoine was probably one of the best corners. I, you know, footwork, quick, small guy, but, I mean, he'd go tackle anybody. And Nate was just, I mean, he was always making plays in practice and in the game. So just watching them guys just, you know, made me want to get better.
Yeah. So you have your career as a defensive back, but of course you had a very successful career here as a kick returner. 5 kick return touchdowns, but you also had 2 touchdowns defensively, a fumble and an interception. Does one set of touchdowns mean more to you than the other?
Oh, man, honestly, not really. I mean, playing on defense, anytime you can get in the end zone, you know, feels real good. So, it really doesn't matter. Just getting in the end zone.
What do you think, you know, 5 kick return touchdowns? I'm sorry we're messing with you with the one where you didn't score, but 5 kick return touchdowns, what did you think were the keys to your success that you were able to cash in that often?
I think it's just our special teams. I mean, we really took pride in every week going out there and executing, you know, especially like when Bobby April was there. Guys really enjoyed going out there and performing each week. They took special teams real seriously. So, I mean, it definitely wasn't just me. It was the special teams as a unit.
It's a good thing you played back then, Terrence. I mean, I'm sure you watch games today or in these days in the NFL, and you know how difficult it's become to really have a big kick return now.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, honestly, you know, I really don't even watch football as much as people might think, kind of removed, you know, from the game a little bit. But, I mean, yeah. I do catch a couple Bills games, a couple Cowboy games, because I'm back and forth. I was about to say.
No, go ahead. You can finish your thought. Go ahead. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah. So, you know, I catch a couple games. I've noticed, you know, certain rules changes and things like that. So, it definitely is difficult.
When you think back on your career, do you have a favorite game from an individual standpoint, if you want to bring up a team standpoint? But from you personally, is there one game that you always think about that might be your best?
Man, not necessarily. I would say the games that stand out, I would play the Cowboys. And not just because I'm from Texas, it's because you know, I had an older brother that was in prison. So at the time, those are the only games he could really watch because we didn't really have too many televised games. So anytime we played the Cowboys, you know, it was played, you know, in the prisons in Texas. So those are the times he was able to, you know, watch me play.
The other thing I was reading an interview you did, I think a couple years ago, Terrence, and you were asked who was the toughest player to play against. And I'm expecting you to bring up a receiver who you just had, you really got frustrated trying to cover this guy. But you said it was Tom Brady. You didn't say it was any receiver. You said it was Brady. What made, from a cornerback's perspective, what made Brady so tough to play against?
Man, it was just his execution. It was, you knew that day you had to play, you know, as a cornerback, you know, that had to be your best coverage, you know, day of the year. It didn't matter what situation it was, even if the man had 2 minutes left and you was up 10 points, you had to play those, you know, those last 10 minutes hard. So I just knew at the end, because there was a couple games, I mean, I think they even played one not too long ago on ESPN when we were in New England.
Talking about the McKelvin game or no? I'm trying to remember.
I mean, I'm not going to call it the McKelvin game.
Yeah. But, I probably should have referred to it as something differently from your standpoint, right?
But yeah, that's the game you're talking about. We were up, you know, they still came back. But yeah, I definitely got a lot of respect for him.
The nighttime they rallied late game, is that better? Or the primetime they rallied late game, yeah.
Yeah, we'll say that.
So listen, before we let you go, what are you up to these days?
Ah, man, dodging COVID at this point. besides that, I'm, you know, back and forth from Buffalo and Dallas. So really just, you know, raising my kids and just trying to enjoy life.
Very good. Well, listen, you got to watch some football games this season because the Bills should be pretty good.
Yeah, like I said, I catch a couple Bills games, and yeah, I've seen a couple last year. Defense is spectacular, playing real good. Offense too. So they definitely should do something this year.
Well, Terrence, we hope things are going well with you and your family, and you're dodging COVID, and everybody's okay. And thanks for coming on with us this morning. Thanks for doing this.
No, I appreciate it. Thank y'all.
You take care, Terrence McGee, 2003 draft pick. For the Buffalo Bills out of Northwestern State University, joining us on our Western Hotline. We appreciate him giving us some time and having a good sense of humor about the non-scoring kick return against the Saints in the Alamo Dome, where he deked out everybody, but I believe Mark Campbell, and got tripped up inside the five-yard line. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-550-2550. What do you want to get to?
I have one thing on Cam Newton.
Cam, yeah, because you mentioned this, I think, about an hour ago, and I think I sidetracked you at that point.
So there's a report. One AFC East head coach thinks Cam Newton might not start for the Patriots. Right?
Okay. Do you want me to guess who it is?
Well, let me read you the full quote.
Okay.
It matters.
Because I think
Diana Rossini says, I spoke over text with an AFC East head coach on Cam Newton and the Patriots. Quote, okay. I think they're going to keep three QBs, use Cam Newton perhaps as the wild card. I actually don't see him starting week one in the offense. I know one thing for a fact. The Patriots love Jarrett Stidham. So.
Huh. Okay, that
could be Bill Belichick.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't have to rule out Belichick. I never thought about that.
Right. It's definitely not Sean McDermott.
No.
No way.
Nope.
Brian Flores would be a great candidate for this.
Well, see, that's,
he was in New England.
Right.
And he had previously spoken on Stidham and the Patriots before Newton signed.
Yeah.
He had talked about growing pains, but they like a lot of things. And then, there's Adam Gase.
Yeah. Here's my thought process. The first part of you, when you read the first part, I don't think he's a wild card. He's not going to start. And I'm thinking, okay, that's got to be Gase. It's not, I agree. It's not McDermott. I don't think McDermott would say that to anybody, even off the record, a media member. But I thought, okay, it's Gase. And then you read the part where it's, I know for a fact was the quote, right?
The Patriots love Stidham.
Okay. And I'm thinking, okay, it's got to be Flores because he was in New England. He would know. But that's why my mind working and explaining it on live radio is kind of really fascinating. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. It would logically lead you to believe a guy would state that for a fact if he had inside knowledge of the organization, and you'd say, okay, that's Flores. Unless Adam Gase, maybe he would have been in Miami, right, when Stidham was at Auburn. Anyway, in the scouting process, Gase would have been looking at quarterbacks, doing some kind of research, and knew for sure through whoever that, boy, the Patriots are really all over Jarrett Stidham. And, they've had meetings. They're talking to him. I've heard from my sources, man, the Patriots really like this Stidham kid. So that's why I would guess Flores, though. Because I'm going to base it on his insider knowledge of the Patriots organization.
Yeah. I saw there was another Newton thing where someone thought...
He's starting, by the way. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me with this?
We also have the structure of Newton's incentives and bonuses. Some of it.
Yeah.
Albert Breer, $1 million minimum salary.
Yeah.
$550K is guaranteed. He gets a $700,000 in per game roster bonuses. So that's, a good chunk of money. Right.
So if he's on every time he's on the roster on a game day, he makes $700,000.
Yes.
Okay. That's pretty good.
That to me
10
sure looks like
16. I can't do the math. It's too early.
It's $11 million.
That can't be right. Then no, that can't be right. That's not how it, because it's a max value of 7.5. So it's $700,000 in per game roster bonuses. Oh. Okay, maybe a total $700,000 over the course of the year for roster bonuses. That's got to
be. Makes more sense now.
Okay, because the math wouldn't add up. Okay.
Yeah, not $700,000
$700K just from roster bonuses.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So
maybe divide that by 16.
And then 5.75 in available incentives, max value is $7 million.
Okay.
The incentives, that's the one you want to see.
Right.
And that's the one that the Patriots actually would want to be the most secret, right?
Yeah.
If it's $5 million if he plays four games or more, then we would think however that shakes out would very much determine how much we think they're serious about him.
Yeah.
If it's $5 million if you win the Super Bowl versus $5 million if you start four games, I mean, those would determine for Newton how much interest he had in signing the deal.
Yeah, look, if you tell me there's an incentive and it's $5 million if he starts four games, they must really love Jared Stidham. And, you know, Newton comes in, they're going with Stidham. They think he's going to win the job. If he falls flat on his face and blows up in the first month, we go to Cam Newton to bail out the season, and then he gets his $5 million by playing most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it's structured. I got to believe. They can talk about Jared Stidham as much as they want, and people can, you know, use anonymous sources. I got to believe they signed Cam Newton because they think Cam Newton is healthy and he's going to be their starting quarterback for 16 games. And he gives them a much better shot of winning the AFC East than Jared Stidham over 16 games. It's got to be. I mean, I'd be really surprised if the competition, again, all things being equal, Newton's healthy. You know, he's not in camp in August with the shoulder hurting him, or he's not, you know, limited in terms of his ability to do anything out there because he's coming off the Liz Frank foot injury. If all things are equal, I just don't have a scenario where Cam Newton loses a head-to-head quarterback competition to Jared Stidham. Man, you know, I hope he does. I'd feel, you know, much better with Stidham, quite honestly, and the Bills' chances. But I'd be really surprised if the whole thing is they really love Stidham and he actually wins the competition and Newton was just an insurance policy.
Yeah, it is puzzling that Newton had to wait and had to take such a team-friendly deal, right? That he wasn't more sought after.
Yeah, by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, I don't remember, although his incentives would be, you know, Winston plays if Breeze is hurt, you know, like last year Bridgewater got five games. But, I mean, Winston signed for like $900,000 in base salary, so he got next to nothing in that. I don't recall what max value was and what kind of an incentives might have been because, you can create a scenario. And I guess Dalton would be the same way. Dalton's not playing in Dallas unless Dak's hurt. Winston's not playing in New Orleans unless Breeze is hurt. So I don't remember how their deals were structured. But you can definitely create a scenario where you see Cam Newton coming in and being the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots. The other two guys are break glass in case of emergency.
Yeah, I mean, Newton, if there were a money line on how many games or whatever, who starts week one, I would put the money, he's minus 300 probably?
Yeah.
I mean, right? Stidham to start's got to be 5-1 opening day, and Hoyer might be 7-1. Of course he's the favorite.
Yeah. And I think, again, you know, it isn't even, you know, how does he fit in the offense, blah, 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 you know, the personality mix. I mean, he's when he's healthy, he's a good football player. He's a good quarterback and was productive with Carolina with, you know, not the greatest talent in the world around him, quite honestly, until, you know, 2018 when they, you know, that by the time they bring in Christian McCaffrey and overhaul their receiving core and get some better players in it, you know. So I honestly don't. I'll watch. I look forward to watching training camp play out and maybe a couple of preseason games to see how Cam Newton looks. But come opening day, if it goes off as scheduled September 13th and Newton's not the starter, I'm going to wonder either A, is he just not physically ready, or what the heck? Belichick really loves that Stidham kid that much? I don't know. Maybe I should be nervous, Jeremy. Maybe I should be like, well, if they're playing Stidham, Belichick must know what he's doing, and I would – well, I don't know. I just don't see that.
I've got a text here that I see – we've talked about this real briefly. Texter writes in, McDermott knows Newton more than most. Everyone in the AFC is freaking out over Cam except McDermott. He knows his limitations. I just don't really think that means much. Like, McDermott has coached zero games against Cam Newton.
Yeah, he would.
I don't think McDermott knows how to. We went over the track record McDermott has. Mm-hmm. I don't think McDermott knows how to defend Cam Newton better than others.
Yeah,
I think he knows how to play defense, and his defense is good. But Bill Belichick has had trouble defending Cam Newton, and Cam Newton has been in the league for several years.
Yeah,
there's no secret, you know. Like with regard to most of these guys that have been in the league for several years, you might say it about Lamar Jackson because he only had 1 year, and not every team has learned this is the best way to stop him.
Right.
For Cam Newton, I mean, any defensive coordinator would tell you, I know exactly how to best defend him. The question is, can my talent do it that day? Do we not have the mistakes? Does Newton overcome it? So I just think it's a talking point, and it's not to say that McDermott has no clue, but I don't really think that McDermott has a better idea than a defensive coordinator like, I don't know, doesn't Bill Belichick know how best to stop everybody?
Hey.
So Belichick, the guy that is the best defensive coordinator or defensive mind in the league, just signed Cam Newton. So if you want to say that a defensive coordinator knows how to stop Newton, well, is Belichick better than McDermott? Because Belichick just said, I'll take him.
Yeah.
You know, like I think it's a talking point more than an actual actionable defense when it comes to a veteran.
Yeah.
When it comes to a rookie, first, second year guy, I think there's more there.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
If this were true, wouldn't Romeo Crennel be the Brady stopper? He's not.
Because he would have known everything about him. Or Bill O'Brien, whatever.
Sure.
Whoever would have worked.
Josh
McDaniels in Denver.
Would Greg Williams know how to stop Drew Brees?
Well, actually, it made me think about Brees. Go ahead.
If you flesh this out, everybody knows what to do against every other opponent.
Yeah.
Whether you can do it is another thing. You know, I can know that to win this golf tournament, I've got to shoot 11 under. Can I do it? You know, like it's sure. There's no secrets on Newton at this point.
Yeah. There's interesting discussion points here. It's funny. If you mentioned Lamar Jackson, let me hit a few points here. You mentioned Lamar Jackson, and honestly, as you were talking about, it might be easier to get a book, so to speak, on a rookie or a young quarterback as opposed to a guy who's been in the league. This will be what is 10th year in the league. Really, if you go back to last season, it was, hey, you want to keep Baltimore's offense in check? Go put up the tape of their game against the Bills.
And you know what the Bills probably did? They put up the tape again that the Chargers had with Derwin James in the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's a reason people say it's a copycat league, because they're going to find out what you can't do, and then they're going to force you to undo that.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen will see a lot more this year. Like Josh Allen, maybe last year was in his first season, Josh Allen was able to sneak up on teams and how much he could run. Well, you sneak up on teams less in year two and even less in year three.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all the experience the Bills had watching Tom Brady. They still couldn't seem to stop him.
Yeah.
You know, like I understand the general point. I also am pushing back against the idea that everyone in the AFC is freaking out. I don't think that's happening either. If anything, it's very much we'll see what happens with Newton if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
But he's good. He's definitely better than everybody they had. The Patriots definitely got better by signing him. The question is, did they get better than the Bills? And that is not a sure thing.
Well, I think if there is a freaking out, it's relative, because they just have a guy who's been in the league for 10 years and might know what he's doing, as opposed to, sorry, Brian Hoyer, or Jarrett Stidham, who's thrown 4 passes in a regular season game. Would they have been freaking out if they signed Jameis Winston?
Right.
I mean,
right.
He did throw for 30 touchdowns and 4,000 plus. Would they have been freaking out if they got Andy Dalton, who's been in, has led teams to playoff games? I think the freaking out is relative to, there's a guy who knows what he's doing at this level versus the guy who we thought was going to start for the New England Patriots this season.
Right. McDermott has a knowledge of Newton. He doesn't have any of Stidham. I'm sure he'd rather play against Stidham.
Yeah.
Right? Because
I would, sure. Why not?
You know, it could just go the same way, that while McDermott has a good idea of what Newton can do, I mean, doesn't that mean that Newton knows McDermott's defense?
Yeah.
He would have worked against it all the time.
That's why I think I'll give you 2 examples, I think, in this discussion of what does McDermott know? Does he have an advantage? Now, since McDermott got here, he did play against Carolina once. They got 3 points. Okay, so maybe that's your, he knew all about all their weapons. They had 3 points. Of course, the Bills, 9 points. I'm sorry, the Bills had 3. It was 9-3 in that game. But guess what else would have, didn't Sean McDermott's defenses in Carolina play New Orleans twice every year? What the heck happened the one time they played the Saints since he came to Buffalo? Got their ass kicked. Yeah. They got blown out. They literally couldn't stop the running game in the second half. So, you know, and he would have known a lot about the Saints having played them all the time. So I don't know. You know, there's 2 distinctly different examples about, you should have had a leg up on New Orleans and you didn't stop them. You were manhandled. And I know your offense was terrible at the time, too. You did play Carolina and you held them to 9 points. I don't know how much, you know, like you said, you could just take the other view and go, Cam Newton would have practiced every single day against Sean McDermott's defenses. And he knows McDermott's tendencies and he knows what he likes to do with his corners or his linebackers or his blitzes and all this stuff. So I don't put a lot of stock in that. You know, I thought it, you know, Rex Ryan hey, he did a great job in New York, right? Against Brady, he was really good with the Jets. And his first game up here, Brady and the Patriots ran, they totaled like 1,300 yards in that game. So I don't know that I'd carry a lot of, put a lot of weight into, well, this A happened, and that's going to lead to B. You know, it, whatever. Yep. Different things happen on game day, and I don't think you could actually compare that and say he's going to have an insider's knowledge.
I can't decide if I love it for the Patriots or not. I was really loving picking them to finish third in the division.
Yeah.
I mean, I really was. I thought they were going to be bad.
Yeah.
And I no longer think they're going to be bad.
Yeah, that's right. When you say whether or not you love it, are you talking about whether you'd love it from their perspective or from our perspective?
From mine.
From my perspective? Okay.
What do I like more? The Patriots being interesting and the Newton in New England thing? Do I like that from an interesting standpoint? More than I love the idea of them being bad. I mean, I really love the idea of them being bad. And they still might.
Yeah, I'm going but with, I mean, your second choice.
When they were going to roll out Stidham.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I was loving it.
Yeah, me too.
Loving it.
I know you're right about interesting. They become, if he's playing, right, they become much more, right? There were three things. Used to be there were two things on game day for me. How did the Bills do and did the Dolphins lose? Now it's how did the Bills do? How does Brady look with the Bucs? And how do the Patriots look without Brady? Those are the three storylines on a given NFL game day. I like your second choice. They are more interesting with Newton. It is more of a threat. If you want competition and all this fun stuff, it's much more interesting. You know, that Monday night game in New England, I keep thinking about that game. I mean,
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
That could be phenomenal if both these teams are fighting for the division in that game. But, you know, I'm a wuss. I always like to look for the easy way out. You know that about me. Mm-hmm. I would have been much more happier going into the season with Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer.
How much credit do you give the Patriots for taking a low-risk deal?
What's the market?
Well, that's the thing.
Of course, like, let's not overdo it for they agreed. Waited out Cam Newton, and because agreed. They waited an extra 2 months, they got him for $1 million. I mean, nobody was going after Cam Newton.
In the interest of consistency, to me, it's like the Josh Norman deal. You know, how much credit do you give a GM for signing someone to a cheap, low-risk deal? That's representative of the market.
Yeah, whose stock is really low.
Like, if you like, I like that my team's the team that's going to take the chance, then I think that's a good point. But you don't, like, I'm not here to give Bill Belichick credit for not paying Newton much. It means that nobody else wanted to.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is puzzling, but it's the reality. It's the NFL where, I mean, a lot of good young, a lot of young quarterbacks just came into the league over the last 2-3 years. Think of the first-round picks, right? Allen's, there were five. The year after that is Kyler Murray and Drew Locke. And you turned over about half the league into young quarterbacks that the teams are going to invest time in. and there are only 32 jobs. So while some guys hang on forever, like Brady and Roethlisberger and Rivers and Breeze, and 15 new guys come in that are just going to get all the belief, you know, sometimes the guys – Andy Dalton's a good example of this. You know, a couple of years ago, there would have been a job for Andy Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 3 straight years of a big influx of young quarterbacks, Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow, and, you know, on and on. When you turn it over that quickly, guys get left out.
Young quarterbacks not only coming in, Jeremy, but young quarterbacks that are starting right away.
Sure, right.
And taking those jobs.
Not only should they start, but they should be invested in. Uh-huh. They should be surrounded. And the next position for this to maybe pop that will keep salaries on good players down is probably receiver. Right? This last year was chock
big
full
class.
Of receivers.
Yeah, right.
And what are they saying about next year's class?
Right.
It might be better. Like, already you're hearing the 2021 receiver class is great. You get 2 straight years of just a complete turnover of receivers in the NFL. The guys at the very top get paid, and then the guys after that, it becomes, well, I mean, do I want this player? Can I just draft one in the first round or second round and get that replacement for cheap?
The Newton thing to me, if the reports are true, okay, again, first off, his stock was down. Nobody knows how healthy he is. I think he took a physical in March, but it's not like he was able to visit teams, do workouts, none of that stuff. So, you know, I'm not sure what kind of leverage he would have had. The jobs have pretty much all been taken outside of New England. If the reports are true, nobody even called and talked to Newton's people other than the Browns. And the Browns weren't going to give Cam Newton a contract to come in and compete for the starting job. It's Baker Mayfield's. Unless Kevin Stefanski isn't sold on Mayfield and thinks, I better get Cam Newton in here in case Mayfield falls flat on his face and Cam's my guy going forward, which I doubt is the case. So he didn't have any much of a market. You know, are you going to give New Orleans brilliant because they waited and waited? And, you know what? Let's go get Jameis Winston for $900,000 because nobody else is bringing him in. I don't know what Cam Newton was getting in terms of offers. That's not... I get the only credit you would give them is, I guess, they could have waited and waited and thought, you know, we'll just deal with it in camp and then lose out. If someone gets injured and Newton signs elsewhere and they really wanted to bring in Cam, that could have backfired on them. Let's not go crazy on give New England credit. The guy had no market. Who's paying Cam Newton a big contract? You would do exactly what New England did. You would go short term and you would build in incentives, maybe likely to burn, whatever. You would build in incentives where if he plays, it's worth it for him. He'll get his money. It's worth it for you because in theory, you're better off by him playing. That's exactly what they did. And they were probably the only team in position that had to consider something like that at this point. Who else is doing that, right? Who else has a quarterback question at this point? Starter. I don't know. Jags maybe? I mean, right? It's Minshew. It's a very short list.
It's just like Jacksonville. It's just Jacksonville doesn't really want to be too good, probably, yeah. Right?
What are they trying to accomplish?
These teams they've each got their own timeline and goal, and the middle class quarterback, which I guess they would consider Newton to be, right? You've got rookie contract guys that are cheap that you're hoping can become as good as Newton that are younger that aren't beat up.
Yeah,
he definitely deserves a chance, and he's good enough to play for most teams that would have passed him by. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If he's on the Bills and healthy, people are going to talk about the Bills like it's not just an AFC East, but a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
If he's healthy.
Right.
I mean, he's better than Allen when he's healthy, at least so far.
Hey, we enjoy talking sports and it's a lot of fun. We blew by the break like 9 minutes ago. So
every once in a while, a topic hits.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm sorry. It's the pandemic. I think one of the rules in the pandemic was you just don't pay attention to the format clock. Right now, our program director, if he's listening, is cursing me out. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Brayton standing by, top of the hour. He's in at 10 for the instigators today. The brothers DiBiase, Joe and Louis DiBiase, will be on from noon to 3. Stay tuned for that as well on WGR.
Look, I think the most important thing to our fans is that we're going to make every attempt to get the game back. back on the field. You know, I know some people have talked about longer seasons, 60 too short. The reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor. 60 games is the outside of the envelope, given the realities of the virus. And, you know, I think this is the one thing that we come back to every single day. We're trying to manage something that has proven to be unpredictable and unmanageable. I know it hasn't looked particularly pretty in spots, but having said that, if we can pull off this 60-game season, I think it was the best we were going to do for our fans, given the course of the virus.
That is Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred. Some of his comments, which I don't have a problem with. Maybe the players will be upset because that's not really negotiating in good faith. But, you know, baseball should be trying to get as few a game and as few a number of games in to get to the playoffs where they actually make their TV revenue. If I'm Major League Baseball, I'd be doing the same thing. I got a follow-up from the last segment. What did you want to get to?
About Newton? I said another fun stat to throw around.
Oh, so today we're going with the walking on the moon stat so far, right? I think it's the best one.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from the thread about stat of the year?
It is.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm all ears.
And you can touchdowns.
Restate the one about the Mariano Rivera one, too.
How many touchdowns did Derrick Henry have in 4 years of high school football?
Okay, well, it can't be a high number, or else you wouldn't be bringing it up. So...
Sure, it can.
Oh, okay, like an obscenely crazy number.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do the math on how many games you play in high school.
Seven or eight games, 10 games a year with playoffs. Okay, 10 games, 3, 30, 120.
153.
That's a lot of touchdowns.
153.
That's
a lot of touchdowns. How many yards did he have in 4 years high school?
4 years, and he plays 10, 100,000. I'm going to go 6,000.
Hold on, I'm adding them all up here. He had 4,261 in his senior year.
Oh,
he had 12,124 yards.
He had 4,000 yards in the season. I mean, he would have played
in his senior year
12 games, maybe?
Senior year, 4,200 yards and 55 touchdowns.
In one season. In maybe a dozen games, I assume, right? Regular season games, playoffs, states.
Yep.
That's pretty. So he must have had a really good offensive line. Is that where you're going with that stat? This is why you always want to build up.
Yeah.
You build up front. This is why you build your offensive line.
Well, he got stronger as the game went on. They just kept feeding him.
They wore down the other team.
Yeah, right.
I gotcha.
Let me find a couple more here because they're just so great.
The walking on the moon stat that we Brayton has officially, by the way, added to the stat of the year sheet that had just one entry on it, the Larry Fitzgerald stat. So more men have walked on the moon than had scored runs against Mariano Rivera in postseason play. 12 men walked on the moon. 11 players actually scored a run against Rivera in postseason play.
We got a couple more for you.
We're putting that up there with Fitzgerald. Go ahead.
Phil Mickelson has never been the world's number one golfer.
Really?
And when he was number two,
Tiger,
he was closer in points to number 1,000 than he was to Tiger, who was in first.
No, he was. Yeah, I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that, right? Because by the time Tiger started breaking down, Phil would have never been near number one.
Yeah, he was number two, which is near number one.
Yeah.
He was never close in actual.
Wow.
There are a couple of goaltenders.
Poor Phil.
That have good stats. Connor Hellebuyck had as many shutouts in college as he did losses.
Wow, that's good. That's okay. How many did he have? Does it say or no? It doesn't say.
I think it was eight is
okay.
The number.
That's not a lot of losses.
Might not be a lot of shutouts either.
Huh.
I think Ryan Miller might have had more shutouts than losses in college.
That's pretty good. Now, if you could do that in the pros, that'd be even better. What else? Anything else?
I'm going through the feed. That's the most of it.
Okay. Nothing beats the walk on the moon.
Yeah.
Even the, although, you know, the 40-year-old catch thing was pretty cool, too. But that's funny. That's not necessarily it does say something about Jerry Rice. But it's more hilarious that the other two guys that had a catch at age 40 were quarterbacks.
Yeah,
but
three players in NFL history have had catches at age 40.
Yeah.
Rice had 93. Tom Brady had one, Brett Favre had one. There's your socially distanced family July 4th barbecue trivia question to give friends and family.
You barbecuing for the 4th?
Presumably. I got to smoke something soon. I'm definitely either this weekend or next week. I got to get the smoker back out and get
if
to work.
If only you had a smoker that someone gave you.
I do.
Really? I wonder, where'd you get that?
No, you got me a turkey fryer.
Oh, I thought we gave you the smoker.
You did not
no,
give me a smoker.
We got him the fryer.
Did you use the fryer? Have you used that?
I've not used the fryer yet. The fryer's on the list of things to use this football season if there was a football season.
We gave it for your, we gave it to you for Christmas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you wouldn't have been able to use it for Thanksgiving yet. So
right.
Because as far as I know, Christmas came after Thanksgiving last year.
If someone gives me a time machine, I can go.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
Back.
The pandemic didn't make Christmas before Thanksgiving. And okay, no, all right. I just want to make sure that didn't change. You going to use it for Thanksgiving this year?
Quite possibly. We'll see.
I suppose you can make turkey. You don't have to just use it on Thanksgiving, right? It does.
Oh, no.
You can use it for wings and other food, too, right? I mean, I believe if I remember reading the box, it was like, oh, it's not just for turkey. He can use this for chicken wings and anything else he would like to do.
Yeah, the thing about smoking meat, though, being like using a smoker is, let's say I want to do it on Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, now I've got to get it on Saturday.
Oh, prep. Yeah, right.
All right. Friday, the planning starts Friday. I get it on Saturday. I'm going to either brine it or I'm going to marinate it. Sunday is smoke day. And, you know,
hungry.
Sometimes I'm trying to work out the days and Federal Meats isn't open on Sunday. So, you know, I'll grab it I can't grab it on Sunday. So, all right, I'll grab it Monday, overnight, Tuesday with the rub. So, like, it's a process. And then, of course, you got to plan for
process.
My wife doesn't, she's a vegetarian. So if I'm going to make a pork shoulder, it's like, all right, well, what 4 days will I be home where I'm going to want to eat pulled pork sandwiches for four? Mm. So, like, there's a lot that goes into it.
You're making me hungry, man.
But I've got to do it soon. I know.
Use the smoker Saturday's the 4th, right? Yeah, so you could start your prep today, have it all ready to go tomorrow. Boom, smoker Saturday.
Yeah, good. But then Saturday, again, if it's too nice outside, do I not want to be home all day?
Oh, it's supposed to be really nice. Right? Yeah, where are you going? Golf?
Go out on the lake. It's beautiful.
Oh, you got a boat. That's right. Yeah.
And that's socially distanced.
Can't use the smoker on the boat, huh?
No, I think that's frowned upon.
Okay. I figured it was. I'm just screwing around. That's probably a really dangerous thing.
I mean, some people have grills, but I mean, again, a smoker is a long thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't even bring a grill on a boat.
Oh, sure. Plenty. I mean,
really?
Plenty of fancy
boats. A little George Foreman thing?
No, like actual grills. Some
oh, really?
Again, like I'm saying like really fancy boats.
Huh. Oh, okay, like a yacht, which you don't have.
They do not, and they're correct.
Someday, if you're going to go watch the Grand Prix in Monte Carlo, someday, man.
I wonder if they just let me bring a regular 20-foot boat out there.
I don't think they allow you in. I think there's probably a limit. It has to be X amount long. You probably would be scorned at. And, I mean, they would be like, get that dinghy out of here. You know, they probably wouldn't even let you in the limits. Did you see some of the boats that they showed on Drive to Survive when they play it? When they race in Monte Carlo? That's life. All right, we'll get a break in, and whatever. Extendo Sports is going to be like 2 minutes, and then break.
You can go as long as you want for Extendo.
No.
It's not a big deal.
You ever want to see me burn rubber getting out of the studio? It's a 3-day weekend in 12 minutes. You really think we're going to go long just to help you out?
You've got 12 minutes of Extendo bed to go on.
At what point did you mistakenly believe I was a team player? There is an I in Simon. It's a capital one. I make the S the small letter. All right, we'll wrap the show up in a moment. Brayton standing by 10 to noon. And Joe and Louis DiBiase noon to 3 today on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
All right, in the interest of, you know, giving Brayton as much airtime as possible, How old am I?
How old are you?
58.
58.
Yeah, make sure I got that right. Yeah, 58.
All right.
Why?
Well, today's my father-in-law's birthday.
Oh, okay. Though maybe you're planning my 60th birthday party already.
Right, it's today. Happy birthday.
How old is your father-in-law?
60.
Okay. He's a youngin'.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell him if he wants to go over some AARP stuff with me, let me know. He'll be glad to.
Please.
No? Okay.
Please.
What?
He is a different kind of 60.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. He was awesome at your wedding.
He is.
Yeah,
dogs have dog years. You, uh-huh. you add seven, you multiply
yeah.
by seven.
Yeah.
For him, you divide it by, like, yeah. I don't know. You cut it in half.
Well, I'm the opposite.
He's 34.
Oh, God. Yeah, he came. I mean, I didn't know the guy from Adam except your wedding reception. And he was just like, the guy was vigorous, filled with life. Me, I'm add my dog ears. I'm wiped out. I'll leave you with this, Jeremy.
That's because you spend too much time around me. I've taken years off your life.
Well, no, just the job has. And sports. I found this is from the Department of the Things You Find on the Internet. Did you see this story about the libraries in South Carolina?
No.
So libraries in South Carolina, they're having a problem during the coronavirus. They had to put out messages to their customers to stop microwaving books. People are getting books, and they're worried about the virus on the books they check out from the library, and they thought heat will kill the virus, so they're throwing books in the microwave and burning books by accident. So the libraries are now telling people in South Carolina, if you check out a book, wipe it down with a Clorox wipe. Don't put it in the microwave.
Love my new steamable books I'm buying at Wegmans.
Corey Griswold. Good to hear Corey Griswold's voice on this station.
Producing Brayton all this
Corey, week. I heard you doing an update the other day.
Oh, you did?
It was one of those things where like a spot in my brain got opened that hadn't for a while. I'm like, was it? It's Corey Griswold.
So many great memories of the drought coming back to all of us.
A voice from the past. That's right. Yeah.
I'm going to start talking about Dick Duron pretty soon.
I'm excited to hear you guys talk about the goalies because Corey's response to Brayton's question about are you comfortable with the goalies, pointing out that one of them had a vision problem, is a problem.
we had a goalie. There's a problem he couldn't see. So, you know.
That's not important.
It's not, actually.
You know, you don't need to see the puck. You have a feel for the puck.
If we weren't in the middle of the apocalypse, I'd be talking about that a lot more, that the Sabres played a goalie whose eyes didn't work.
Yeah, at a point where they actually needed said goalie to play really well because he was, for a while, the goalie.
Right. Carter, talk about the season. It seems like you had some problems. Yeah, my eyes didn't work.
I couldn't
see at all. I told the coaches. They still played me.
Did they talk about maybe having to send you to, say, an optometrist or anybody?
A lens crafters.
They probably have a plan. I would assume vision is covered on their insurance at PSC. I know it is with ours.
There's been a lot of cuts recently.
Maybe they cut the vision plan?
Maybe.
All right. Hey, Mr. White, have a great weekend with whatever you're doing.
Well, thank you.
And we'll see you on Monday. Yeah.
Getting outside. Hopefully everyone has a safe and healthy 4th.
Yes.
And, you know. Yeah, that's it.
And have fun.
You always say have a safe 4th. Now we mean it like extra.
Oh, boy, yeah.
Like really have a safe.
Yeah, 4th. Be careful. No crazy 500-person parties in the backyard. You know, just be safe. And we'll be back Monday morning. Brayton and Corey are coming up next on WGR.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.